Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
There we go.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. What's the old saying? Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. It's better what you don't do or say than it is what you do, so maybe I won't. I think you know what I'm thinking about. We'll get to that in just a minute. Hey, it's Friday. We'll close the show today with our bright side. You'll call in. Tell us some good news. Tell us why you're smiling. We could all use that on any given Friday. And every week, it seems like I say, especially this week. So at 2:40 or 2:45, we'll open up the phones and you'll call or text 312-981-7200 and say, hey, John, I just went to the new Wingstop and oh, man, were those good.
I have a good one this week. Like, sometimes I feel like I just kind of find something.
I know.
But this week, I really, really am happy to share something.
Sometimes they're a little manufactured for all of us. What? Go ahead. Tip your hand. What's your bright side?
No, I want to save it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Steve, you are now on report. You need to come up with one by 2:45 as well.
Oh, I can do that.
A good one.
Oh, I can't do that.
By the way, I don't know that we've ever said this, but it's certainly one of my rules. In fact, it is the only rule about the bright side. Do you guys know what the only rule for the bright side is?
You can't comment on other people's bright side.
And no. You can't make fun of it.
Yeah. Well, you both said the same thing. No judging. There's no judging other people's happiness. So if you say chocolate ice cream and I hate chocolate ice cream, or you say Donald Trump and I don't like Donald Trump, or you say the Bears and I say the Packers, that, you know, you whatever it is that's making you happy gets to make you happy. Well, who are we to take blow out your candle, for crying out loud?
Amen.
We'll do that at 2:40. Had an interesting conversation with my boss this morning about the use of the word S-hole on the radio. Various media reported last night at an immigration meeting with some members of Congress that the president used that word, or that two-part word, to describe Haiti, El Salvador, and some African countries. The president is denying that, but Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, you know, who was at that meeting, says that the president did. My argument to use that word on the radio today, and I started thinking about this as soon as I heard about it last night, and by the way, I don't plan on using the word. I'll explain that in a minute. But I think you could sure justify using it if you wanted to. National Public Radio is using it, or was, and CNN has been quoting the president with that word on Bleeped. And I think the argument to use it is that not uttering the word protects the president to some degree from its ugly impact. The same reason that we don't use the word in normal conversation is precisely the reason that we should use it here, because it was the president. Were it almost anyone else, the word choice wouldn't be so important because of the message it conveys. This is more than just dismissive, like, ah, who cares about them? Mr. Trump has found the most vile image to convey his sense of those places. And because of the word itself, something that is that denigrating renders those places, at least by the president's measure, inconsequential. Why should we care about a place so without merit that it's a S-hole? Shows a lack of respect, too, for the people in the room, doesn't it? Did he think they might not be offended? Or maybe he really didn't say it at all. His denial, for him, is vague. He tweeted, quote, "This was not the language used," which allows for the possibility that he did say the word, but that the rest of the language has been misquoted. Later, he tweeted that he never said anything derogatory about the Haitians, which now makes Dick Durbin a complete liar, both in form and substance. Durbin said he used the word and he was awful about Haiti. The president is also suggesting today that meetings like this should be recorded, which is not a bad idea. Maybe we should ask Barack Obama if he has any of those recording devices still lying around the White House. And one more thing. Rather than just kick a country when it's down, I posted on my Facebook page, and everything I've read to you or said to you just now is posted as a message on my Facebook page. There's a link to an organization called Hope for Haiti. Charity Navigator on a 4-star rating gives Hope for Haiti 4 stars. They say they spend their money most efficiently, and they also do really good things with it, constructive things. Hope for Haiti operates on about, I believe, $5 million a year. And if you thought, well, here's one way to express my outrage, I'm going to help those people rather than embarrass the United States further and kick them around, I'm going to make a donation, I've made it easy for you. I'm King John on Facebook, and you can make your donation there. When I heard this news last night, and we were out with my family and Brenda, we were sort of celebrating her birthday belatedly, and we were having a nice time. And then you get out of the restaurant, and you look at your phone, and you go, oh, crap. And the feeling that I had, you know, the things that the president says and does throughout this year have, you know, some of them you think, oh, this is outrageous. And then some of them you just think, ah, that's Trump being Trump. I'm not going to give him my digestive tract for this. I'm not going to get all worried or upset about it, you know. Some of that you just got to let slide. But the way I felt last night when I sort of spent some time thinking about this particular word was the same way I felt when he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas recently. And I, you know, when he was doing that signing and there were those Native American gentlemen that were there that were the Dakotas, and he is saying, you know, you guys are okay, but boy, we got this one Pocahontas. Oh boy, she's really terrible. Ha ha ha. And that's not a direct quote. And I just felt so bad. I felt so bad for our country and the presidency and that behavior. I don't know. Some of them just kind of strike you in a way that you can't anticipate. And that one actually depressed me. And I felt that way last night a little bit about this. You know, that's just Trump being Trump. Whatever. We all get angry and cuss. And Lord knows he likes to upset the apple cart. But for some reason, this one just cut through all of those defenses or explanations. And I just felt terrible. I just felt terrible.
You know, the theme I bring back is how he does things in ways that have never been done before, or that his behavior is aberrant in that no one would ever do that before.
Yeah.
And this is going to be another one of those examples. When you left the restaurant, if you turned on TV news and you saw the word on your screen, you know, as the bottom third on CNN or MSNBC, yeah, and anchors using the term, or, you know, and there was this one guest on CNN last night who, you know, said, I'm from an asshole called Ireland, or from this and from that, you know, and just the fact that that word now was accepted on cable TV, I guess, and not broadcast. I don't know. Actually, the NBC Nightly News used it, so it was on broadcast TV.
Did they
as
really?
Well. Yeah.
No.
That's what I was told.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough call, and I, you know,
here's the thing, John.
Go ahead.
It's not a tough call at 6 o'clock or 6 to 10 o'clock last night. Because then the audience is being confronted with what the word is. For you today, we all know what it is.
Yeah. Well, but the game changer for me, fair enough, Steve, right. I mean, it was breaking then. Oh, my God, what are we talking about? Here it is. We don't need to keep repeating the word the same way you don't need to keep sowing the same horrible injury on the football field to know the guy was hurt, or the bodies on the side of the roadway after a crash. At some point, it becomes gratuitous. I feel a little way that way today. Particularly in light of this. And Steve, you need to catch me up on what NPR says about this. But now the president denies it, however vaguely. His defense is so thin that I don't even think he believes it. That is his own defense. I think he is essentially admitting that he did it.
Well, the White House came out with a statement last night that didn't dispute that he's, you know, confronting the fallout, but not disputing that he said it.
Right. So they stood in defense of what he meant and ignored the fact that he may have used that word. And then later on, he says, as I just reminded you, that language isn't the language I used, and I didn't say anything bad about Haitians. So if that's true, Dick Durbin is the biggest liar in the United States of America today. But the reason I'm not going there is because I wasn't there. I don't know what was said. I believe Dick Durbin on this one, but it's a he said, essentially.
No, it is not. And that's why I want to interrupt you.
Okay.
The news agencies that are reporting this didn't get this, and maybe they got it from Dick Durbin, I don't know, but they didn't get it from just Dick Durbin. They got it from multiple sources, multiple people who were in the room. So In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the two Republican senators, Cotton and Perdue, who are in the room, issued a statement within an hour, I think. In regards to Senator Durbin's accusation, we do not recall the president saying those comments. My screen just went. We do not recall the president saying these comments specifically, but what he did do was call out the imbalance in our current immigration system.
Sure. Okay. So what's your read on that?
There are two things. One, they're saying we don't recall him saying this specifically, a little bit of an out. And again, they're trying to put this on Durbin. It's not just on Durbin. There were several people, or multiple people, I should say, in the room who told reporting agencies that this was said.
Well, I wish
one other thing.
Go ahead.
Durbin stood before reporters this morning and asked questions, answered questions about it directly. The people who are saying it didn't happen have not done that
yet. I wish they'd step up. If he said it, own it, give it to the president, let him have it, just be forthright with us. And if he didn't say it, then defend the man to the nth degree. But let's have a candid conversation about this. Steve, it also seems silly, right? I mean, you know, I'm the big protector of let's not waste our time on things that aren't important. You know, on the surface, the president used a word that we don't like, and he doesn't like that part of the country, and he doesn't think our world, and he doesn't care that we help them out as much as we can. The word is not the single most important thing. And yet it is important today. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This whole conversation devolves into micro-analysis of a word,
it's
whatever.
It's not a six-year-old saying, oh, he said a naughty word. It's about what the word implies and the belief system behind it. Right? Is that okay?
Fair enough. But the reason I'm not saying it, though, Steve, I'll just finish my point. And you're right. Everybody knows the word. And so my uttering it, I don't think, has that much more impact or import. But I wanted to say it today. I was going to righteously call the president out for his ugliness in this word. And now I don't need to. You've all heard it. You know what it is. But the fact that the president says he doesn't and Dick Durbin says he does, then I wasn't there. I just heard everything you said, Steve, but this was where I came into this room today. I thought, okay, then I'm not going to take a side on the truthiness of it because I categorically don't know. So we can have this conversation without my repeating the word over and over again. Elif just handed me this from CNN. House Speaker Paul Ryan has called President Donald Trump's comments on immigration unhelpful in his first public reaction to news that Trump referred to African nations as, there it is again, bleep, bleep, countries. By the way, I'm saying S-dash-dash-dash-hole, and I know what that sounds like. S-hole sounds like another bad word. I'm doing the best I can here.
He said it was unhelpful?
Yeah, that was Paul Ryan's comment. It was unhelpful. I don't make of that what you will. John, 98% of media try to blow out the candle of Trump supporters. They're all hypocrites. Okay, we're quoting the president and talking about it. John, why didn't one of those brave congressmen or senators stand up in that meeting and condemn him? That's why, listen, we just burned up the phone lines today, trying to get Senator Durbin, who is in Illinois, to come on for a few minutes and answer some specific questions about that. I'm not mad at him. I just got a bunch of questions about how that literally played out, and he's unable to join us. John, you guys in the press and the media elite on WGN just overreact and spaz out too much on everything Trump does. The reaction gets diluted. You're the boys who cried wolf. Here is what happened on Fox News last night. So Laura Ingraham does her show, and she has Ann Coulter and a couple of other people on. And I was interested in how they were going to talk about it. The Ingraham angle that they did went for about 12 minutes or so. I'm just going to play for you the first maybe 90 seconds of it. We've compacted it for time, but you'll get a sense of what their attitude about all of this was. We're just talking about the president's use of a particular word to describe Haiti, El Salvador, and I guess some African countries in that immigration meeting they had yesterday. Dick Durbin was there and absolutely says the president said it. The president said, I did not. It's interesting because what I'm about to play for you is Fox News, Laura Ingraham last night, in which she says that Fox News independently confirmed that the president did, in fact, say that. But they think that the reaction from maybe the likes of me, but certainly CNN, was way overdone.
Fox News is among a number of outlets that confirmed a Washington Post report that during an Oval Office meeting with lawmakers on immigration, Trump balked at that deal and said, and I substitute one particular word here, why are we having all these people from blank hole countries come here? CNN completely freaked out.
The president seems to harbor racist feelings about people of color from other parts of the world.
The president has racist views. I mean, you know, when, how long do we have to dance around that issue?
Jeffrey Toobin talking about dancing is not something I ever want to think about. Let's bring back Ann Coulter and Mark Krikorian, and also welcome immigration attorney Michael Wilds. Because he said that, Toobin and Acosta go right to the same old trope. Donald Trump is obviously then harboring ill will toward people of color.
Right, and don't change the channel from Laura's show, but this is the funnest night to watch CNN since election night. It's fantastic. We want Westerners who can speak English. Just one thing on you were talking about how they don't have enough money for the wall. I was thinking when you were saying that, you know, as long as these countries are such fantastic countries, maybe we could get, you know, cut off the foreign aid to all of them and use that for the wall.
I have to tell you that I was disappointed by the words and the tone. I did not believe the president to be a bigot. I think this is a contentious issue.
It went on for a while, but there you get the sort of the gist of how they started and what some of them had to say about that. It's 1:27. So after the news, I want to just spend a minute with the executive director from an organization called Hope for Haiti. All of this talk about that, and yet you and I don't know that much about that place or a simple way to maybe help those people out. It'll be a brief conversation. We'll do that after 1:30. We'll talk about what happened to Walmart stores. Sam's Club. Sam's Club stores. Because Walmart, yeah, are the normal retail stores, and they have the warehouse stores called Sam's Clubs. And they said that they just put too many stores in some of the wrong areas, maybe too close to each other. And the fact that they announced raises for entry-level workers and better benefits, and for some people up to $1,000 bonuses, is just a coincidence. In fact, I talked to somebody from Forbes today off the air, and she said those may be parallel tracks, that one wasn't sort of to, you know, blunt the news of the other. They were going to do the one, and they were going to do the other. And either of them would have happened without the other happening. It wasn't tit for tat. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that in the 2 o'clock hour. Plus, the bright side. A potpourri of good news and things people are smiling about, including whatever it is that Violetta Podramedic says is making her happy that we can't. Let's guess what it is that's Violetta's bright side.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know you well. I have no idea. I don't know you well enough to know what that would be. Steve, do you have any idea what Violetta's bright side's going to be?
No.
Give us a clue, Violetta. Is it food related? Is it something in the news? Is it something you purchased?
No, it's nothing I purchased. It's more something I'm experiencing.
Family?
No. Not that they don't make me happy.
Something you're experiencing.
Sounds like they don't make you happy.
That's a ridiculous notion.
All right. I reached out to Skylar Badenoch. He is the CEO of an organization called Hope for Haiti. We'll finish our conversation on the up note by talking to somebody a little bit about how you can help that part of the world, that country particularly. Charity Navigator gives them 4 stars out of 4 stars. They say these people are smart with how they spend the money, and they are very efficient with how they spend the money. Skylar, that's got to make you feel good. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, John. I really appreciate it.
You weren't here, but the last 30 minutes we've dissected the president's word last night. I'll just let you comment in any way you want generally about what you thought or heard or felt when the president said that.
Yeah, you know, those words are incredibly hurtful, and we find them to be racist and misinformed and a disparaging characterization of Haiti and not a characterization of the Haiti that we know. As many of your listeners know, today is the 8th anniversary of the Haitian earthquake, and so instead of focusing on those disparaging words, instead, our organization is really focused on remembering the people. Who stepped up and were heroes in the aftermath of the Haitian earthquake. And we're also remembering those who lost their lives and were injured during the Haitian earthquake. Having been on the ground when that happened 8 years ago, It's particularly a poignant day for me, and it's a particularly poignant day for my staff. And so we are remembering the efforts of our team members who really stepped up, and they saved people's lives. They were on the ground before anybody flew in, before anybody, international community even got there, digging people out by their hands and really saving lives. And so those are the people who we're remembering today. It's with great pride that we think of all of our staff and their efforts on this day instead of those very mischaracterizing words by the president.
Your organization is based in Naples, Florida. What was that earthquake on the Richter scale, and how many lives were lost or homes ruined? Can you quantify it for me a little?
Yes. You know, the numbers vary, but they're massive. About a 7.2 category earthquake, and you know, it wasn't just the 7.2, but there were more than 54 aftershocks that hit the country. More than 250,000 people dead, almost 300,000 people injured, and a million people left homeless during that time.
Skyler, you said 250,000 people died in that earthquake?
Those are the estimates, yeah.
Eight years ago. Wow. What about the economy there? Can you just tell us a little bit about that? What's life like in Haiti?
You know, as many of us know, Haiti is an economically poor country. It suffers from extreme poverty and the challenges that go along with extreme poverty. However, economic poverty only tells one side of the story. And we know that there's more to life than just that. And that it is a very culturally rich place with hardworking people, people who are resilient, moms and dads who care just like we do about the future of their children, the education of their children. And what we've seen is that moms and dads will go through great lengths, spend more than 50 to 60% of their annual income just to make sure that kids get access to education. That's the Haiti we know. It's resilient. Of course, the economic poverty is there, but it doesn't tell the whole story of the country's history and the cultural beauty that exists within the context of Haiti.
What's the GDP there, or how much money does the average person make or live on, or something like that?
Yeah, it's about $700, a little less, and that varies too with
$700 per what?
Per capita, yeah, GDP, per capita GDP. And when you go out to the countryside, what you see is that there are concentrated pockets of people who are living in extreme poverty. And for us, that definition is people who are living underneath $1.25 a day. And so we're really looking at, as an organization, on how can our programs help move the needle and reducing economic poverty and helping people lift themselves up out of that type of poverty, because it can be very crushing when you try to access education and healthcare and infrastructure. Just getting access to clean water can be very challenging. And these are things that are backbones for social and economic development. And that's why Hope for Haiti is really focusing on those things, because we know that they move the needle. They move the needle in Haiti, and they can make a real big difference when people are supported and have access to, healthcare, education, water, infrastructure, and economic development.
How much money do y'all operate on? He just clicked out, didn't he? I asked him that off the air earlier today, and there was two numbers he threw at me. One was about $5 million. One was $25 million. I think one might be the money they have, and the other one is the amount of money they annually spend. But it's I don't know if that sounds like a lot to you or not like a lot. But are you still there? There you are, Skyler. Yeah.
I just jumped back on. Sorry about that.
Sure. So I was just asking you about the budget. How much money do you all have to operate with each year?
Yeah, as an organization, we've grown significantly. We've been blessed with contributions from major philanthropists who took a look at our books and saw that we are one of the most efficient organizations doing work in Haiti. So we've grown over the years. We have a $5.2 million cash budget for this fiscal year, and we're always trying to fundraise so that we can achieve that and do more to impact the lives of Haitian people. We also bring in every single year about anywhere between $15 and $22 million worth of medical supplies, medical equipment, medication that we use internally at our own infirmary, but we also distribute to more than 20 healthcare partners in the southern part of Haiti, including government hospitals and government partners. We see our role as the ability to help Haitian systems increase their ability to provide services to Haitian people. And so that's what that's really one of the things we're focusing on, is to work collaboratively among government and nonprofit sectors and be part of the solution in the southern part of the country.
HopeForHaiti.org, is that the website?
HopeForHaiti.org is the website. You can go on there and donate. You can look into how you can get involved. I always say, if you want to get involved, you can donate and then come down with us and see the work, meet the Haitian people. You're going to be inspired by what you see. It's a beautiful place. Of course, there are always challenges, but Hope for Haiti, we believe that in the face of all the challenges that exist, there's always a pathway to a better life.
Scott Badenoch is the CEO of Hope for Haiti. HopeForHaiti.org. If you forget that, and like me on Facebook, on my page, at the bottom of today's post, you'll see a link to their donate page. Charity Navigator, out of 4 stars, gives it 4 stars. It's nice to talk to you, Skyler. If we can help you all down the road, you let us know, okay?
Great. Thank you so much, John. You're the man.
Well, it's nice of you to say. You're the one doing the work, and we're happy to shine a light on that. One last note about this here. It says now from, I think this is the Post and Courier. What site is this, Elif? What newspaper is this? Do you know? It says U.S. Senator Republican Tim Scott said he talked to fellow South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham about hearing President Trump's remark, and Graham confirmed to him that the president said it. Graham, Scott said, told him the reported comments are basically accurate. The ones that Durbin is saying, the one the president is saying, he said he didn't say.
And those are two Republican senators.
Yeah, right. My colleague Senator Graham spoke up, he said, and made a direct comment on what the president said. Durbin is quoted as saying. So Dirk Durbin said that Graham actually challenged him on that. Good. He added, for him to confront the president as he did, literally sitting next to him, took political courage, and I respect him for that. That story I just read was from the Charleston, South Carolina paper, quoting a couple of Republican congressmen who said that what Dick Durbin is saying is, in fact, how they heard it or remember it, too. So yesterday we talked to that A.J. Jacobs guy, the author of It's All Relative, Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. You know how we fell into a conversation? I don't think this was with him, but how he was talking about Romeo and Juliet and that there is, for some of us, the one. And he was arguing that there isn't the one. There's the one now, but then if that doesn't work out, there'll be another one along in 20 minutes. We got billions of people, and this idea that you would have a soulmate, he doesn't buy. So I just wanted to read what he said about this to his kid. This is A.J. Jacobs in that book. He said, I'm sitting on Jasper's bed, emailing random cousins. He's at his desk reading Romeo and Juliet for English class. When he takes a break, I tell him I want to make 2 things clear about that play. First, please never act like Romeo. He's a terrible role model. Okay, Jasper says, not sure where this is going. Romeo, he continues, went way overboard. He acted like a crazy person. Falling in love can be a good thing, but if the relationship doesn't work out for whatever reason, just try to move on. I believe this, Jacobs writes. If Romeo hadn't overreacted, he would have eventually met another nice Veronese lady with a puffy skirt and fallen in love with her, and Juliet would have rebounded too. Romeo would probably bump into Juliet at a ball a few years later. They'd have polite conversation, maybe chuckle about the time he woke the neighbor shouting to her on a balcony like a tomcat near a tabby in heat. As he rode his carriage home with his new wife, Romeo would think to himself, isn't it weird I was so obsessed with Juliet? I mean, she's sweet and all, but she could be so irritating too. Remember when she kept making those pretentious falconry allusions? Okay, his son Jasper says. I tell him, sort of kiddingly, but not really, the thing is, I know I can't shield my son from heartbreak, but I can try like hell to cushion the inevitable blows. When my first girlfriend, who I thought was the one, dumped me, it was an emotional Armageddon, weeks of doing little but weeping and watching cable coverage of a murder trial involving 2 tennis-playing brothers who shot their parents. A little perspective might have helped. I blame at least partly the odious myth of the soulmate that permeates our culture. If I hadn't married your mom, I tell Jasper, There are dozens of other women I'd be happy with, maybe hundreds or thousands. Jasper looks at me, his eyebrows raised. Does Mom know you think this? Well, yes, I say, adding that there's no need to bring it up to her now. Yeah, you got that right. I don't know if that's a conversation that's going to bear any fruit if you just have that in front of the spouse. And it just seems to be so unnecessary, right? I don't know. Where are you on that continuum, Steve? Do you think that there's a one and that when you find that person, that's the one?
It all depends on if the one's listening right now. No, I'm sure Sharon would tell you that she could have been perfectly happy
with somebody else.
Yeah, other than
you. That's
too.
The best way to put it. Yeah.
I believe that the universe puts you together with certain people for a reason.
Really?
Yeah.
And why are we together, Ella?
Then what are we all doing here?
For a reason. Hello. We're here to think big thoughts.
We're thinking big thoughts so you don't have to, including in the next hour, we'll talk a little bit about Sam's Club. And listen to this. I was reading in the New York Times. I want to get an article. There's some very interesting statistics. Maybe it's over here. Stand by. I don't think I'm going to find it. When they said that Sam's Club is going to give the people its staff raises, well, everybody, the starting wage is going to go up to $11 an hour. And they're going to give people bonuses up to $1,000. And I think they're going to improve some of the benefits for childcare and things like that. And it's going to cost them hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars. I'll get the statistic, but the bottom line is this. And you say, wow, that sure is a lot of money. Attaboy, Sam's Club. And, I'm glad they're doing it. Why wouldn't you be? But they said that company is so gigantic and profitable, the store closings notwithstanding, that the amount of money it's going to cost them is the equivalent of 5 hours of profits. The amount of money they make in 5 hours, and I know that's different than their profit, the amount of money they generate or the amount of money they profit. It was one of those. But they said it's essentially 5 hours of business for them is what it will cost them. So don't worry about them. They'll be fine is the bottom line. But I still have some questions about why this happened anyway and what's going on in that sector of the economy. One other thing, too.
Well, John, the question you're talking about, was Sam's Club?
Yeah.
And why they did it without any warning to the workers?
Good question.
That was so unusual. It's one thing to reform, but to do it as a surprise to then the towns who house you as well. I know Batavia was upset to other towns like that, that they had no sign that it was coming.
If you're a mayor of one of those towns, I presume that means a lot to you.
Yeah.
Taxes that it throws off, jobs that it represents. It's a hub for your community. And by the way, they don't have a mom-and-pop drugstore on the corner anymore because you're there. So now you're it, Jack. And when you fold up shop without any warning, that's tough. I don't know exactly how they're supposed to do that, but I don't know how they can't say, hey, everybody, they didn't make this decision that day. It had to be in the pipeline for a while. They could have said, you're on the list. And
right.
In 6 months.
We'll be closing in, right, or
yeah.
3 months or 6 weeks.
And maybe it won't be your town, but it may well be, and you all would be wise to start to...
I mean, think of the workers there who might have had 2 or 3 months to look for another job.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, here's the statistic. Walmart said on Thursday that its increase in worker wages would cost the company an extra $300 million a year, and that the announced worker bonuses will run roughly $400 million, $700 million they've committed to. That sounds significant, yet a Bloomberg story noted that the world's largest retailer roughly rings up $300 million in sales every 5 hours. The company is on track for about $12 billion in net income this year, so it will take about 9 days, not 5 hours. It will take about 9 days of profit to recoup the extra spending. And how much richer will Walmart be in light of the new tax laws the company is crediting is the big reason for the raises and bonuses. The New York Times says Walmart's earnings over the past 5 years, the corporate tax cut will save the company an estimated $2.2 billion annually.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
I'm right here.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. It was not sunny, but it sure was warm yesterday and the day before. Now people are all bundled up again. We have some snow spitting across the sky. I see white on the sidewalk and blowing across Michigan Avenue. I hate it. It's like winter. It's not as bad as it was, and this cold spell won't be as long as the one we got through right after Christmas until last weekend. Hey, by the way, Steve, you did the story about how we don't sign, or who is it? One of the credit cards isn't going to require a signature
anymore?
Well,
Visa announced it, but Visa was the last to go along. All the others have already said that they're beginning in April, you don't have to sign.
From there, Violetta and I went to one place that you do have to show your signature is on Judge Judy.
Really?
Yeah, in her courtroom.
She says, let me see your let me see the document. Let me see the signature. Let me see your driver's license. Is this the person you represent yourself to be?
No, that was my point. I meant, really? You two watch Judge Judy?
Judge Judy is the highest paid television personality in America. Did you know that?
No.
Well, I don't.
No, this is true.
Is she? Because actually, I might be retracting that statement.
I've heard this before.
I've heard one of the highest.
Okay, so who's the highest paid TV personality?
It looks like, based on Forbes' list, Dr. Phil makes $79 million.
Oh, golly!
Then that's followed up by Ellen DeGeneres for $77
million. Wow.
Ryan Seacrest, $58 million.
Keep going.
And then comes in Judge Judy at $47 million.
Think about that, though. Judge Judy pulls in $47 million a year. She must own that show, but wow.
She's a tough cookie. She would make me sweat, even if I was telling the truth.
I know. You're like, oh, yes, okay, Judy, we'll give it. Here's 47. I'll sign anything. Here's $47 million.
Simon Cowell, 43. Steve Harvey, 42.
Wow. Steve Harvey, 42. There's no justice in the world. Steve Harvey seems to be a nice enough guy, pretty talented. I don't see the $42 million there, though. Same with Judge Judy. I don't see 47.
Yeah, well.
Heidi Klum is on that list, I know. And I think Heidi, that one does not surprise me. Michael Strahan's on the list. Sean Hannity's built himself a dandy empire. He's pulling in about $36 million a year. I mean, you know, what was it that Matt Lauer was getting? About 25. I thought that was the stratosphere. That's not even in this group at all. So I want to talk a little bit about business this way, and that is that these Sam's Clubs are closing. We reached out to Barbara Thau, who is a contributing retail writer at Forbes, to talk a little bit about that store and that group. Hey, Barbara, it's John. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Do you make $47 million a year?
No, not quite.
You got to judge Barbara. That's what we need. So what's first of all, what kind of a store is Sam's Club? Because maybe that's what we need to talk about before we talk about what's happened to that store particularly, or that group in general. What kind of business do they operate?
Well, it's what's commonly known as the warehouse club format, where you buy stuff in bulk for a bargain. And it's a membership model, and their sweet spot for years has been small business owners. But they've moved to a different target consumer, which is the suburban family that might own a business or might not own a business.
And does that fall under the same umbrella as Walmart's? I mean, it's all the Walton family, right?
It's a Walmart. It's a spinoff of Walmart, and their competitors are Costco is the only other big national warehouse club chain, and BJ's is also big, but it's more of a regional player.
I see. And are those kinds of stores doing well generally? I thought those kind of businesses would never go out of business. They buy in bulk. People love to buy in bulk from them. Lord knows they aren't spending a lot of money on fancy light fixtures in those stores. It seemed to be the perfect business model, you know?
Bare bones. Yeah, no, I mean, the sector, I mean, they're not going out of business. I mean, they're closing some stores. Sam's Club is closing 10% of its fleet, which is over 600 stores. So just to put that in perspective. And Costco has outperformed it, but Sam's Club has made some progress. I think this is more a function of a changing retail landscape than any one retailer having a hard time.
Well, I saw their statement, and they said, we may have made a mistake in opening up too many stores too close to each other, and so they were competitive with each other. I don't know if that's just them posturing or if that was the problem. Either way, it's on them, I guess. I mean, they shouldn't have done that, right?
Right. I think that also retailing is changing faster than retailers can keep up with. So the retail landscape is still sized for the pre-Amazon era, and essentially there's a contraction going on, and this is what we're seeing here with Sam's Club. And the interesting part of these closings is that about 12 of the stores will be converted into online fulfillment centers to support their growing and online business. So that's key to this news.
I know you're not a labor analyst, but I'm reading that it could affect as many as 10,000 Sam's Club workers, but the company says that they'll try and reposition those people in either those fulfillment centers or other stores. So the final numbers, I guess, we don't know. But you know, it's just troubling to us, and I don't know if you have anything generally to say about this, Barbara, is I wish they would tell the towns or the people in advance. Is that typical when a company downsizes significantly like this or moderately like this? Do they give people a heads up usually?
It's a good question. I don't know what the, I think it's on a case-by-case basis. I'm not sure that these markets, the workers in these markets knew necessarily. They're also at the same time, as you know, Walmart is raising its minimum wage. So it's a market in flux, including the labor element of it.
I wonder if, like you said a moment ago, how significant people shopping online. You know, I don't need to go to your big old cool store. I'll just click, 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 and have somebody magically drop it on my door tomorrow. I mean, that's the way, boy, where I live, that's how a lot of people are shopping right now.
Right, right. And what's not said a lot is that beyond Amazon, which is the biggest online retailer in the U.S., the biggest online retailers are the brick-and-mortar stores, are the Walmarts. So, you know, they're driving their own online business. It's not just a question of Amazon taking market share. They themselves are they're cannibalizing themselves, so to speak, with their own online businesses. But having said that, online sales in the U.S. are still only 10% of retail sales. Hmm. So, you know, and then there's also the multi-channel purchase. So there's the blending of the as consumers buy online or pick up in store. You know, there's a combination of different ways that people are shopping now that include digital and physical interaction, and that's what this is also about, accommodating that.
I go to Costco once in a while, or at least I used to. I don't belong to any of these clubs now, but for a short while, not that long ago, we were at Costco, and you know, I don't know if you have much to say about this, but I was always impressed with the quality of, to me, the fruits and vegetables they had, and the meat always tasted pretty good, and Lord, they got a good price on that stuff. I always attributed that to the sort of scale of economy that they were enjoying, but I always thought there were great values there and good products, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Costco was always sort of like the high end of the warehouse club sector, and has essentially always been that top of the mountain in the warehouse club space. So you're right to have perceived that.
So Walmart was actually not as high end as Costco. I didn't know there was a distinction. I thought they were fairly mirrors of each other. I guess not, huh?
Well, I think the format the format is similar. It's the membership model. It's the buy in bulk model. But they're, you know, these retailers within the same space occupy different, you know, what they call the good, better, best. And there's elements of Sam's Club also that have gotten a little higher end. And, you know, the warehouse clubs generally have had, you know, you'll find brands, higher end brands in a warehouse club than you'll get at a Walmart or a Target. That's always been, even at Sam's Club. But in the space of warehouse clubs, Costco is a little bit of a higher end mix.
Is it so? Can we read much into then what this says about the viability of the company generally? I mean, what does this say about how well Walmart or Sam's Club are doing?
Actually, Walmart has been making some great progress, particularly in the world of their online business. They've bought some. They collaborated with Jet.com, bought Jet.com, which was an online player, and Mark Lurie brought him. He's a tech savvy CEO, so they have bringing those learnings and his knowledge base. He was before that had a business with Amazon, related to Amazon. So they've really, and their business has been doing, made a corner, and it really competing. They've also bought other online businesses, so they're getting, ratcheting up that knowledge base, and have seen, and it's made an impact in their sales and in their margins and improvements there. So I don't think, Sam's Club had lagged a little bit behind Costco, but they've also showed improvement in their monthly comp store sales, which are a pretty important metric. I think that the more important question is with this news is really right sizing an overstored retail landscape, and shifting to the climate.
Yeah, no kidding. 63 stores are reportedly going to close, and 10,000 workers at least initially affected. But as we said a little while ago, it's not clear how many of those people will find jobs within the company. They said they'll try and place some of them. I also read online today that the new tax plan is going to save the company $2 billion a year. So don't worry about Sam's Club, it sounds like. They will be okay after all is said and done. Because it's funny, I used to think, like, what would be a company, what would be a franchise or business I would like to own or run that I knew could never lose money? I mean, it would just be a license to print money. And I used to think that would be a McDonald's. But then some McDonald's franchise stores had trouble. And then I thought, okay, Krispy Kreme stores. If you had a Krispy Kreme, they stand in line and wait for the donuts. And then they made some big mistakes. Starbucks. I thought if you ever had a Starbucks, you will never have to worry about your kid's orthodontist bill. And then some Starbucks had some troubles. And so I don't know if this goes into that group or not, but I guess nothing's forever, is it?
Right. I think that the big box store is, there's an element of the big box store and how that format will need to change as people shop differently. We're seeing retailers downsizing their space, reallocating space. Kohl's just announced it wants to partner with a grocery. Kohl's, the department store apparel retailer mostly in home, wants to partner with a grocery retailer to allocate, to reallocate some space. So we're seeing that. We'll see how it pans out with even the space within their stores that are existing, how they might need to change up the space.
That's funny because I'm quite comfortable with Target as a grocery store destination. I just don't see Kohl's that way, but I know? Maybe that'll work.
We don't know.
Well, Barbara does. Barbara Thau is a retail writer for Forbes magazine. Nice to meet you today, Barbara. We appreciate your thoughts on this, and we'll reach out again.
Oh, I hope so. Thanks.
Yeah, have a good day. Since the president passed that, or the Congress, where are we on this tax bill? It's passed.
It's the law.
It's the law. So a bunch of companies said, and it's not just Sam's Club or Walmart, that they're going to give bonuses up to $1,000. This is in the USA Today, today recently.
Well, salary hikes would be preferential to that.
You would be better if people got salary hikes than bonuses?
Well, look, they're going to get the tax cut for the rest of their corporate lives.
Yeah.
They're going to give you a check once. So wouldn't it be better to take a lower amount maybe than $1,000, but have it be part of your pay increase so that you could benefit from it through the years as well?
And in the long run, I'd get more than $1,000.
Yeah,
too.
And so, hey, it's all good, but it looks good for the companies, and it is good from the companies that they're giving these grants, it's a one-time thing. The tax benefit for them goes on forever.
Well, call and complain if you want to that you're going to get $1,000 in the mail, and I'll sit by the phones.
I'm just saying that a salary increase would be better for the
people in the long run.
Yeah.
So here's the list of the companies that are AT&T, $1,000 bonus to 200,000 employees. Do you work for AT&T? Give me a call. Are you getting a check? What's the status of that? American Airlines, do you work there? $1,000 check for 130,000 employees. Bank of America, everybody gets $1,000 for 145,000 employees.
You sound like Oprah.
Comcast, they get a car. Fifth Third Bank, 13,000 employees. Sinclair Broadcasting. Hey, Steve, this is the best news I heard since I heard we were going to get bought. The Sinclair Broadcasting people are getting $1,000 each.
That's great.
Whoop, whoop. We got to push that deal through right now. I want my $1,000. 9,000 employees in the company that's acquiring us. $1,000. Southwest Airlines, 55,000 employees. All getting $1,000. Travelers, U.S. Bancorp, Walmart, says here not available. If you work for one of those companies, call me or if somebody in your family does. I'm kind of curious. Are you getting the check? JetBlue, Nationwide, PNC Financial, Alaska Airlines. Don't think we have many of them here. But if you work for one of those companies and you are supposed to get $1,000, I just like to know how, when, and where that money's coming. I'm not doubting it. I just...
not all the employees are getting $1,000.
Oh, no?
I don't think so.
Here's a list of some of the major U.S. companies that have paid out bonuses
to some of their employees. I don't think it's all of them.
Or upped pay since President Trump signed the tax reform bill into law December 22nd. While paying a one-time bonus to $1,000 is generous, a better approach would be to deliver more permanent pay increases to workers, said a certified financial planner whose name isn't Steve Bertrand. It doesn't say. Shoot, Violetta, I'm assuming that was for everybody.
So we had a couple texts come in about Walmart employees saying it's only people who've been on the job for 20 years.
Oh, and Walmart, their bonuses did apply to specific workers. It was not across the board.
Just to specific workers.
In the Walmart store, yes.
Okay. Well, if you got to be there 20 years and they give you $1,000, I'm less impressed. But...
So it was up to 1,000, but I think everyone was getting some sort of bonus.
Okay. Well, if you're one of those people, I've got an open phone line, 312-981-7200. Bright Side of Life, you tell us what your good news is. We'll all smile together. It's a group hug on the radio that works every single time. We'll do that in about 20 minutes. Somebody just called Producer Olive, and they said, well, our $1,000 bonus is every 5 years we get $200 extra as a check. that's not a $1,000 bonus, but it does come to $1,000, but it's every 5 years you get an extra $200. Okay, that's one way to do it. Let's talk to Isaac. This is John. You're on the air. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, these companies are giving out these $1,000 bonuses. That's fine and great, but they're going to write it off at the end of the year, and we're going to end up paying for it in the long run as individual taxpayers. So it's really not something so grand. And then Walmart's laying off a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And closing down stores.
Yeah.
After getting a $2 billion incentive, right?
Yeah, right. $2 billion they said they'll save per year. Thanks for the call, Isaac. Renee, this is John. You're on WGN.
Hi, John.
Hi.
My daughter works for a TV station up here in Green Bay and their Fox TV station, and she got her $1,000 bonus. She's quite happy.
Oh, that's one of the Sinclair stations, right?
Correct.
So did they give her a check, literally, like here's $1,000 or an extra $1,000 in her pay?
It was an extra $1,000 in her pay.
Man.
She's happy. Man.
Okay. I would
She's
be.
She's real happy.
Thanks for the phone call. Good for her. From there to line three, this is Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN.
Hello, John.
Hello.
If you're going to give me $1,000, that's fine and dandy, and I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I would still rather have $1 an hour.
Right.
Because at $1 an hour, that's $2,080 a year on a 40-hour work week. Hmm. And that goes on as long as I work for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's smoke and mirrors. That is just smoke and mirrors. Here you go. Here's a little nugget. And be happy. No. I want that $1 an hour or $2 an hour or whatever that raise that Walmart's talking about, because that's cash in hand forever.
Yeah, no, I get it. I appreciate the call. Bob, interesting. From you to Allison we go, WGN. Hey, Allison, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, John?
What do you say?
Well, I work for AT&T, and we received a check on the 29th of December for $1,000.
Wow.
Less income tax.
Oh, yeah. So it's about $800 or something like that, huh?
Right. So it's going against 2017 income as opposed to 2018 income.
When your tax rate was lower. Oh.
Well, no, but that's a good thing. Lower.
No. The $1,000 bonus means more today than it would have last year because your tax rate is lower this year.
Oh, right. Yeah, better that you had gotten it 3-4 days later on the 1st of January and then...
Exactly.
Well... Okay, fine, but I know that there's a number of reasons why they do it, and I know that there's other or maybe more generous ways to do it, but I'm not one to look a gift $1,000 in the mouth. Are you? Or are you happy with that, or are you a little disillusioned with the way they did it?
I'm like most of your callers so far. Put it in my paycheck, as the one gentleman said, 2,040 hours, give me a dollar raise. That's more money than the bonus.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you, Steve. It's 2:41 on WGN. St. Vincent is performing, let me double check on this, tonight at the Chicago Theater on State Street. $83 to get in. That's where the tickets start at. Annie Clark's Fear the Future tour is in town. Other items going on in the area that you might want to take advantage of. In Naperville, an evening of jazz with saxophonist Mitch Paliga. That's tonight at 8 o'clock at the Wentz Concert Hall at North Central College. Tickets start at $15 for that. In Elmhurst, it's the community performance of Broadway classics tonight at 7 o'clock at the auditorium. Cost you about $20 to go to that. Here in Chicago, the annual Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival runs now through January 21st at stage 773. Tickets are $15 a show, $125 if you want to do the whole week, and $250 for all access passes. It's a collection of comic acts from coast to coast. They make it the largest sketch comedy festival in Chicago, and that's underway right now. Also in Chicago, Rebirth, is it Rebirth? Yeah, Brass Band at Thalia Hall, 8 o'clock, one of New Orleans' most well-known brass acts. You might recognize this group from HBO's Tremé. Oh, no kidding, they were in Tremé? And that's over at Thalia Hall. Tickets are $25 for that. And one other one, Stone Fence Cider Cocktail Competition and Mitten Drive. That's the Stone Fence Cider Cocktail Competition and Mitten Drive. It's, let's see, Sunday from 4 to 6:30. Tickets are $25. Try cocktails from 11 local bartenders. Vote for your favorite while donating to Cornerstone Community Outreach, Stone Fence Cider Cocktail Competition. I would like to go to that. It's 2:43. Okay, Violetta's been hiding her bright side from us all day long. The beginning of the show, she said, oh boy, some weeks I just got to dream one up. This week, I've really got a good one. Marshall Isles always helps us do this on WGN Radio. She comes down from the sales department to help read some of the texts that we've got coming in.
That's right.
You got a? Do you have a personal bright side you're going to share? Or, I mean, you got to think of one now. I'm going to take a quick commercial break and we'll come back.
Let me think about that.
That's where I am. Actually, I know what mine is. I'm going to the DePaul game. It'll be the first time at the new Wintrust Arena. Ding, 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 Steve.
Thank you.
Over at the new Wintrust place. I'm going to go see DePaul play tonight. That'll be a fun game. I'm becoming a big DePaul fan.
We? Are you going to? Is it going to be a we thing?
I think I will be saying we.
We're playing Providence?
I think we are. Yes. Bertrand thinks. I don't know. Kevin, where are you on that? If it's a team that I'm rooting for, that I went to, or that my kid and money went to, do I get to say we or do I have to say they?
Well, since you put a lot of money into it, I think it's a little bit different. But when people talk about the Bears, the Bulls, or the Cubs, and they say we,
yeah,
it just, nah, doesn't work for me.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So like
it's
the
like
Cubs.
You're not on the team.
Okay, so if the Cardinals are in town, I would turn to Brendan and I'd say, hey, we're playing the Cardinals this weekend. And that's a faux pas.
I guess that sort of passes, and it just in a quick little exchange like that. But if you're talking about, man, we need to be driving more runs in. We're not hitting for enough power, guys.
Or yeah, we are killing it. We are doing so great this year. I'm totally jazzed about how we're doing.
It's not a faux pas, really. It's just it's a little sad.
it all depends on how you're putting "we" into the sentence. If you're saying we need to rebound better, boys. Come on, that's a little weird. But if you're like.
Well, I think I'm guilty on all fronts. Every yeah, single you description are. You've made of how you should not behave comes quite naturally to me. Hey. So I've got to work on that.
It's fine. You can still roll with that, Jonas.
We still love you.
What's the matter, Elif?
I was going to say I have a bright side, too.
All right.
Is it too early?
Yeah, it's too early.
Okay.
Well, you want to... But, yeah, Elif, I love you. You want to do yours now, or do you want to wait until after the break?
I'll wait. I'll be patient.
We'll take your call, too. 312-981-7200. This is The Bright Side.
Some things in life are bad.
I have an open phone.
They can really make you mad.
Just a couple. Call now.
Other things just make you smile.
You'll get in. The number's 312-981.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
7200.
Grumble.
Call or text that line as we do The Bright Side.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home now. All together.
Always look on the bright
sing, Marcia,
side
sing.
Of life.
Nicely done.
Always look on the light side of life.
Okay, Elif's answering the phones. You need to call. Let's start with the text today. Marcia, read one of the texters.
All right, I have one here from 219. King John, my bright side is that this part of your program. It always puts a smile on my face, and I finally got to meet you at the end of your show on Wednesday at the SNL Experience. You and all of your WGN folks are a class act.
Always look up.
Ha! How about that? This is Carl on line one. Jump in there, Carl. You're on WGN. What's making you smile?
Hey, John. How you doing? Hey, listen, my bright side is I saw the movie The Shape of Water the other night.
Uh-oh.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, good, good. That's
hey, John, quick question.
Yeah.
You know what The Shape of Water is?
No.
It's a movie.
Well, yeah, I know it's a movie, but I thought that was a riddle, like what's The Shape of Water?
Yeah.
It's a good movie, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call. I'm warning you, though. That's one of those movies you're going to love or hate. Kevin Violetta, have you guys seen that movie yet, Shape of Water?
It's on the list.
Kevin, what's your bright side?
Bright side, oh boy. My dad's returning on Monday from a few weeks on the road for work, so that's good. And then this weekend I'll be at Cubs convention all weekend. Full coverage at WGNRadio.com, by the way.
Let's go, Cubbies. Violetta, what's your bright side? Everybody's waiting to hear it.
My bright side is I've been doing hot yoga.
Oh,
I'm on my third class, and it's an amazing experience. My teacher, yogi person, says smile. It releases endorphins.
Huh.
And you start off your day with the positive energy. I like the drinking bird, the warrior, this thing called the baby cradle. And my goal is to do a headstand ha thingy at some point.
Life is quite absurd.
How about you, Steve? You've been a yoga guy. What's your bright side?
My son is in Hollywood for a month, and I'm getting a kick out of seeing his pictures on different sets, and he's going to see The Groundlings tonight.
Nice!
Yeah.
The Groundlings is...
It's a comedy troupe.
Yeah.
I think Second City. Well, I think Julia Sweeney. Who you
no
met.
Kidding.
She started with The Groundlings in L.A.
My bright side is I'm going to the DePaul game tonight. Looking forward to that. Marcia, you've had ample time now. What's your bright side?
Okay. My bright side is my one-year-old has earned the title of Air Jojo.
I don't know what that means.
That means that he's going to be a basketball player.
Is he showing some natural skills?
Yeah, he shot 10 shots in a row the other night. So.
Oh, I see. So he then actually gets the little...
He loves basketball.
Elif, what's your bright side? Why are you smiling?
I just found out that my long-lost cousin is coming in February, and we're going to go see Kimbra together.
Hey, Jim, this is John. Why are you smiling today? You're on the air.
Hi there, John. I work for AT&T. I got my $1,000, and right now we are driving down to see Marquette beat Butler.
Wish we had more time. See ya.
You must always face the curtain with a bang.
This is Liz. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Liz?
My bright side is that I will be in Las Vegas in 3 weeks watching the Hawks game the same day that Steve Cochran will be.
Oh, have a great trip. What fun. Thanks for the call. Let's go to line four. Debbie, what's your bright side? You're on GN Radio.
My bright side is that, even though it's cold outside here in Indiana, at least we don't have the mudslides like they
do
in California.
I'm telling you what, you're absolutely right. Thanks for the call. You see that stuff and you can't complain about what we got here. Hey, Pete, this is John. You're on the air. Why are you smiling, Pete? You're on WGN.
Hi, John. My bright side is 11 weeks ago, I broke my ankle, and today it was cured, and my wife and I are going to Michigan this weekend celebrate.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
You too.
You can text to 312-981-7200. Go.
All right, area code 630. John, this is for the bright side. I'm 10 days away from my due date with my first child, a little girl on the way. Couldn't be more excited to meet her.
Congratulations. Man, what a sweet thought. Enjoy. Keep going. Give me another one.
My bright side from 630 is I'm cancer-free as of 10 years this month.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
How about that? Give me one more.
All right. Someone did not like The Shape of Water. area code 815. My ex-wife is getting married again tomorrow. I'm so happy for her.
Well, that's a nice take,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's really nice.
Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill, this is John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Bill? You're on the air.
King John, buddy, after the last couple of days, I got no more snow on my roof. It's a good day.
Are you in Indiana? Where are you?
I'm in Southwest Michigan, and the lake effect snow machine was kicking our butt for the last week and a half. And the last couple of days, that foot and a half of snow up there is all gone.
Foot and a half. Isn't that amazing? We don't have nothing on the ground here in the city. Nothing.
Well, that's because you're on the other side of the lake.
Amen to that, my friend. All right, I'm glad to hear that, Bill. Thank you, sir.
You bet, King. Take care, buddy.
I talked to my mom and dad on the phone this morning. They live in Joliet. Dad said, he's not a meteorologist, I don't know that he went out there with a ruler, they had 5 inches of snow last week, or this week, it's Friday. He said they had 5 inches of snow, and we didn't get any. You got another one there, Marsh?
I sure do. From area code 224, Carol from Palatine. I just found out I'm going to be a grandmother for the first time.
How about Dave on line 7? Dave, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Good afternoon, King John. If you can't find the bright side, polish the dull side.
There you go. There's a saying to live by. How about this one? Let's talk to Jeannie. You're on WGN. Jean, are you there?
Hey, how are you, John?
I'm good. What's your bright side?
My bright side is I'm traveling up from Springfield, Illinois to have a celebration of life of my uncle. He was a former PE teacher at Windsor Elementary School in Arlington Heights. He was a 40-year baseball, football, and basketball referee, and we're just getting together, and I can't wait to meet people that he impacted, and I just love them, and hey, it's sunny out, and here we go.
You must always face the curve. All right, let's take a couple more calls. Maybe Marsh will give us a couple more texts. Let's go to Sue. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Sue? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Because I want to go there if the sun is shining. We had no school today because of the weather here in Valparaiso, and so I finally got to make my chicken noodle soup.
We go from Sue to Colleen. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Colleen?
Hi, John. I am smiling because out of absolutely nowhere, my 14-year-old daughter said, "Thank you, Mom, for all the adventures you and Dad make me go on. We make her go swimming and snorkeling and hiking and camping and..." She showed genuine appreciation, and if you have a 14-year-old in your life, you know how much that made me smile. So thank you.
From the text line, Marsh.
Area code 708. My bright side is that my 12-year-old dog is okay after he slid into the patio door.
One more.
All right. Area code 847. My daughter got accepted and just started her doctorate program. I'm so proud of her.
Wow. It's all good news. We do this on Fridays. You call in or text in. Tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling. We'll smile with you. We call it The Bright Side on WGN. Anna DeVlantis, Ro Khan, strolling into the studio. Rose positioning chairs. Anna's ready.
Hi there, John.
How are you? Rose getting just the right chair.
I love the bright side today, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
It really cheered me up.
Well, that's...
It's the purpose
that's
of
something.
It.
That's something. That's something, huh?
Didn't cheer me up, show. John. I'm just gonna, you know, it's not because it Rose. Wasn't excellent stories, and it wasn't, and it or excellent... contributions, I suppose we'd call that.
Yes.
Sharing.
Or your amazing production of it. Because I, quite honestly, I will say this as a bit of a radio geek and somebody who does this from time to time, not always as well as others. I'm always amazed by the flow of it. There's a little trick to this that only a radio folk will figure out, and you pull it off perfectly.
Well, thank you, sir. It's my baby.
Yeah.
It's my baby. So what's your baby today?
Well, he's in the White House, and we'll be talking about him. Michael Steele will be here. Susie Sunshine will tell us about the markets, though. That 26,000 prediction of a friend of ours is going to come true here.
Is that Susie's prediction?
Crazy.
No. No, it was not her prediction. Very few people made that prediction, but one bold individual, one bold Chicagoan made the prediction that a year from his inauguration, the Dow will be at 26,000.
Was it Orion Samuelson?
I don't think that Orion would have doubted that.
No, but he probably would have known.
But here's where we sit, and it's interesting. So we'll talk about that, and then we're gonna have fun with the blank hole. We are.
Well, that answers my question.
Yeah.
Did you think about using it last night? Today?
We didn't use it, did we?
No.
But it was funny because all the news organizations had quick editorial meetings, and Washington Post chose to use it in headlines. Others decided not to.
I just got a text from my buddy in WCCO in Minneapolis, or a friend, Jordana, a woman I used to work with, and she just said, "Are you going to?" And
are
I
they? Said, I don't think anybody in terrestrial broadcasting is going to, because you risk getting a fine for it. You don't risk on cable.
Right, and which is CNN. So CNN gets to say, which is stupid, isn't it? I mean, is there really an appreciable difference between
Not
CNN
really.
And CBS?
I mean, not really anymore.
It's a button on your TV.
That's right.
One of them has rules that don't apply to the other. And I suppose discretion is the better part today. We probably don't need to be saying it.
People know it.
I figure that if I say it, I'm going to a gulag. If Sean Hannity says it, he will actually get the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So there's it's like kind of a different thing.
Well, I got into the station today, and I just popped into Todd, our boss's office, and I said, "What do you
think?
Should we?" And you could tell he really would appreciate it if I didn't.
That's what he made clear.
And then I said, "Okay," but I said, "Here's the argument for why I should or could." And then we just sort of had that conversation, but it was more of an academic exercise. But I said, just run it by legal and see what they say.
Well, did he run it by legal? That's a funny concept.
I think we need to know that answer. Did the legal say okay?
They think it's punishable.
Oh.
That it is punishable.
I've never run anything by legal that they didn't say was don't do it.
No.
I am of a school of ask for forgiveness, not permission. But on this one, I thought, let's just see what they say. They said don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that because I think that critics of this administration, and I don't think I'm being goofy about this or I'm being reactionary about it. I think critics of this administration are treated very differently. In the then friends of the administration, and we've seen that actually play out in the FCC so far.
Oh, you think that there'd be consequences if we started to toss that around?
I don't know that there wouldn't be. I would assume that there wouldn't be, but in most circumstances. But the world has changed.
Maybe you set it as an FCC trap to get you, Roe.
Oh God, have I heard that?
Just wait and see if Roe says it.
Friends
then
of mine said, "Don't go there, John.
We swoop in.
He's doing it. He's just doing that to get you. Don't do that." So I'm not going to do that.
I don't fully believe that, although I love the idea. That's a good talk radio
awesome,
conspiracy, but I don't think that's the reason. But I do think that there has been a differential in treatment by issues with the FCC as it pertains to major purchases in our business.
Sure, that's for sure.
And that they've treated critics of the president differently than people who've been protective of the president. Mm-hmm. So there
have
you go.
A good show, Rokan.
Thank you.